Hey, whatever your circumstances, your situation, what would it look like to invite God into that? Invite him in. And then they shared that idea that he is able to do exceedingly more than we can even think or imagine. And so, in fact, this is what happens. It's like God comes in, okay? But what they experience is this. That, in fact, you can't contain what God is able to do when you invite him into your circumstance, into your situation. You think, oh, I've got this little thing wrong right now. I don't have enough here. You go, oh, God, can you come in and help us here? And we just think, man, if he can just balance that book, if he can just heal that sickness, if he can just fix that relationship, oh, that'll be enough. He wants to do so much more than that in our lives. These are stories of real people who sought God and found that God was already seeking them, that God was already at work, that God was longing to show himself to them and able to do more than they could imagine. But what's interesting is that then we come to today's story. And in today's story, we meet a man called Paul. So if you've got your Bible, grab it. And go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. If you haven't got a Bible and you need one, just throw your hand up and Mitchell will get you one. Does anyone need a Bible? Yep. Yeah, we've got a couple of people needing them. Cool. Just keep your hand up. Mitchell will get one to you. So we're 2 Corinthians 12. And we've come into the New Testament and the story of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Probably one of the greatest names that we know of in the church. Paul is the great super missionary, staunch theologian, writer of most of the New Testament. You know, he's a pretty big guy in lots of ways. What we find in this little story in 2 Corinthians 12 is that Paul is desperate. Paul is needy. Paul is not feeling like he has enough. It's as if we hear him say, God, just stop this. God, remove this. God, change this. God, I can't do this anymore. God, I've had enough. He is really doing what Jeremy Lindell were inviting us into last week. He's inviting God into his situation, his circumstance. He comes and he pleads with God. These are the words, verse 7. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I don't know if you thought last week about what that circumstance or situation that's present in your life where you feel like you haven't enough or you're in desperate need, and maybe you've invited God last week into that. And if you have, that's an awesome place to start. And we heard testimony last week about how that God showed himself to be enough. But I've got this question for you. What if we seek God and invite him into our specific situation and we hear no answer? Or worse still, what if we do hear the answer and the answer is no? Maybe like not yet, which we'd prefer, to the other one, which might be, what if the answer's never? It seems to be the tone of what Paul is saying here. Three times he comes with something to God, pleading, great Apostle Paul, you know, pretty tight with Jesus, knows all about what it means to live by faith in the Son of God, who loved him and gave his life for him. He knows how to live like that. And he comes and he's pleading, saying, God, this is enough. Take this from me. And it's as if God goes, no. And it seems in the story that his answer is, never in this lifetime. What if that's the answer? I mean, you go, well, let's not talk about that. Because that, like, rips hope away, you know? But Paul goes, well, this is my reality. I mean, the background to the story, as best we can understand, is that Paul is getting hits from all sides. There are people who are persecuting and insulting and harming and abusing Paul because he stands up for Jesus. And there are false apostles who are speaking ill of him and stirring things up. In the chapter before, it talks as if some of these people are like angels, but in fact, they're really of the evil one. You know, that they come as like messengers of evil. And maybe that's why it says here that I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, an angel of Satan. It could be that he's referring to some of these people even who are coming at him in his life. Some would say that his thorn in the flesh, this idea of a thorn like a prick, like a sharp, you know, prodding thing, like a prickle, a thorn, a prick, a pain. It's a pain in the flesh. It's something that gives him great pain. And that could be spiritual. It could be emotional. It could be physical. And as we're coming to finally wake up to in the West, sometimes all those things are all combined together and inseparable. And so Paul's saying, I've got this thing. Some say maybe it was his bad eyesight. Some people say maybe it was a broken relationship. Some say maybe it was a chronic illness that he can't get rid of. Others would say it's the very persecution that's going on through the messengers of Satan that's tormenting him. That word torment means to punch in the face. And Paul in the chapter before talks a lot about that, doesn't he? He says, you want to know about me as an apostle and what my credentials are? I'll tell you what I've been through. And he describes this big list. If you read it, it reads like a punch in the face. Some would say that maybe that was the thorn in the flesh that tormented him, was that people were constantly against him because of his belief in Jesus and standing up for Jesus. But as he comes, he's seeking God, going, God, can you remove this? Whether it's a sickness, whether it's a broken relationship, whether it's his blindness possibly, or whether it's the enemies who are coming and abusing him. He's saying, please would you take this away from me? You go, what? Wait a sec. So, and then God said no? Does that seem fair? Like surely Paul's doing the best he can. He's living by faith. He's a servant of Jesus. Surely Jesus would listen to his request. Paul's a guy that's gone and requested stuff for other people on their behalf, and God's heard that and powerfully worked his miraculous wonders. And yet when Paul asks for himself, he gets a no, possibly even a never. It tells us at the beginning of that passage that Paul's saying that, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, he actually goes, you know what, there's a story behind this. There's so many amazing things that have happened to me. And he does this third person thing, including this guy I know, wink, wink, me, who got taken up into the heavens and got special revelation. He's going, even in that, he says, so as not that I would get proud and conceited, God allowed me to have a pain in my life to keep me humble. Think about that. Is it possible that sometimes the pains in our life, though we hate them and just want to get rid of them, are actually there to draw us closer to God, to make us humble before Him? I mean, when you're in pain, that's when you're most desperate. When we're in pain, that's when we're most dependent on others. As Paul suffers pain, it's when he's most humbled and dependent on God. And what does God say? Look down there, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you hear that? Like this isn't like Paul goes and has a catch up with the apostles and said, here's my deal, I've been praying heaps about this, I don't know what to do, it won't go, I just wish it would, it's tormenting me, it's punching me in the face. And maybe Peter or John goes, hey, Paul, it's okay, God's enough for you. His grace, His loving kindness generously given to you through Jesus, that's enough. You'll be okay. That's not what it says here. As he pleads with God, Paul says, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. Like Paul had this intimate relationship with his Father in heaven. And the Father says to Paul, my loving kindness freely given to you, my generosity, my grace to you is all you need. That's not coming from another apostle or a prophet. That's coming direct to Paul from God. And I was thinking about that, like Paul's in the seeking God, he's wrestling directly with God. God, I need you. I need you to take this from me. And God's going, you need me. More than you need the pain removed, you need me. That's why you're here. That's why the pain has remained, is because you need me. Paul, as you seek me, I am enough for you. Because I'm grace. You don't have to measure up here, Paul. You don't have to be good enough here. You don't even have to do a wonderful job of enduring the pain. You can be honest with me because I am grace. It's free. It's love. It's kindness. It's enduring. It lasts forever. And then he says this, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's saying, because you know what? When you are weak, Paul, then I'm strong. When you are weak and you work out of your weakness and live out of your weakness, people see my strength. Look at what it then says. Go to verse 9, the second part. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. You see what Paul just did there? This is like, it's hard because we don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. But whatever was causing him great pain, that he's going, please, God, get rid of this. And God says, no, no, you need me. I'm enough for you. And then he turns around and he goes, oh, I'm so glad that I have that pain. That's what he's saying. He's not saying it feels good. He's saying, I'm so glad that I have the pain because it means that Christ's power is at work in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness and in insults and in hardship and in persecution and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because God is enough. Here I am. Here you are. This is like our Paul character. And in our lives, there might be thorns or stuff or a situation or circumstance that we want to invite God into. And the interesting thing is, for most of us, there's quite a few things like that. And there's some of them that might be about somebody else, but they sort of connect to us. And some of them are things that we have great concern for that are happening around the world or in our communities. But it's interesting that we all have a lot of pain. We all have a lot of stuff. We all have a circumstance, a situation that there's not enough within us to deal with it. It's a weakness. And we go and we seek God over it, and sometimes it's overwhelming. And what God says, not what Paul says, what God says is that his grace is all over that. And you go, how does it work? Well, I was just thinking of this word, these words. We read a lot of this in the New Testament of the Bible, in Christ. It's like the Father would say to Paul, my grace is enough for you because I've met your every need in Jesus. He's come, he's lived amongst you, he's given his life for you, he's resurrected and sent his Spirit to live in you. You have enough. You are loved. You are welcomed into my family. You belong. You have value. You have enough. In your life right now, what might you say is a thorn in the flesh? A pain in your life, a weakness. What might that be? I could give you my list if you want, but when we were going through the Seek book, and I know for some of you, you've been working through like our Seek series, and this has just been like our personal guide for the last 4 weeks. And week two, I was doing the silence practice, you know, like on a Monday. Who's had a go at that silence? Who's here? Here? Okay, cool. So on the Monday, I thought I'd have a go. This is the second week I'd have a go at silence. And so I was really glad by the end of this day in my silence practice that Jeremy had said something to us earlier amongst the staff here going, and leadership, that there's no room for shame in the practices. So in other words, if you get a practice wrong, if you're fasting on Wednesday and then you suddenly eat breakfast and forget that you were fasting, that there's no shame involved. It's like you just start over again, you know, it's no shame. So I was quite glad about that, because when I came to the silence on week two, I'm at home, and it was a bit of a crazy time to do it, but I decided at home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon I was going to have my silence. And I decided I was going to have it horizontal, which might be my mistake, but there's no shame in the practices. So I was in this little lounge that we have at home, and it's sort of like a bit of a quieter space from the rest of the house, kind of, except that it's in the middle. And I lay down on the couch, and I had my book with me, and I just was beginning by just going, God, I'm just going to have some quiet and silence before you. I'm just open to hear what you might have to say to my life, and I just want to be before you now. So I just lay down on the couch. Well, for the next about 30 minutes, everybody seemed to be arriving home, and it was just noisy as. And outside I could hear contractors who were building in adjoining properties, and there was just a really noisy house. Like, there was no silence. The house was so loud. And then all of a sudden, within about a minute, everybody had left the house to go and do other stuff around 5. And then all the contractors stopped, and I was lying on the couch. And during all that noise, by the way, that was going out here, really noise, there was a lot of noise going on in here. And the noise in here wasn't very silent before God. The noise in here was about stuff. I hadn't thought about it back then, but they were like thorns. They were all the stuff that I feel like I don't have enough or I'm not enough for. And there were lots of things buzzing around in here. Well, suddenly the house went really quiet, like that. And the next thing you know, I woke up. And I'd been asleep for about half an hour on the couch in my time of silence. It's really good. And no shame. But I want to tell you this. And this is what's crazy about when we do come and seek God and we're intentional about it. He will surprise us. So as I had laid there in silence with all this busy stuff in my brain, and then I slept, I woke up, and you know the first thought I had was, thanks God for that rest. It felt like real rest. And then it was weird. I had, like, into my brain came all that stuff, that busy noise that was in here, seemed to like categorize itself into 4 or 5 categories that I just lay there on the couch and went, God, I can't do any of these. I'm not enough for any of these things. There's some big, you know, units going on here that I can't juggle and fix and control right now. And as I lay there in that time, I just went, God, I give them to you. What I want to encourage you in this moment now is to consider these questions. What is that? And we're just going to take a moment where I want to encourage you, just as you sit. And this might be just the beginning of something you do later in your own space where it is quieter and you can still yourself. But let's begin it now. Just going, God, what is it that pains me? Is it something physical, emotional? Is it a relationship? Is it a sickness? Is it something financial? Something to work-related? Whatever it is, what pains you and what you feel like you don't have enough for. And I want to encourage you to come and just bring that to God. Just surrender that to him in this next moment. And as simple as just going, God, you know that relationship that's broken. I just come and I give it to you right now. I don't even know what's going to happen with that, but I just give it to you. So I want to encourage you, let's just be still together. Consider what the thorn, the weakness, the pain might be. And then by faith, just hand that to God today. Let's just take a few moments to do that. Lord God, in these moments, you hear our hearts. You know before we begin answering the question what's going on in us. But you also long for us to seek you. And as we've thought of the pains, Lord, you already know them. And as we come and we give them to you, we've been heard by you today. You've heard us. And you care and you love us deeply. And Lord, some of these things we've just cast before you, you're going to heal this week. You're going to provide for this week. You're going to reconcile this week. But Lord God, some of them you're not. Because you want us to remain humble and dependent on you. And for some crazy reason, you're going to allow them to stay because you are what we need. Because you are enough. So thank you that you've heard us today, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to join with me in these next moments. And when Paul pleads with God, God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." When we seek God, He is enough. And even as I think of all those stories that we've heard, I think of Jeremy and Lindell last week talking about their story and their needs as a family and seeking God and God's provision for those needs. Do you know what they needed more than the provision? They needed Him. Moses needs to know how to lead these people, but more than that, what does he need? He needs Him. Whatever you've just brought to God, man, I hope He just takes it away. But that's not what you need most, is you need Him. And His grace is enough for us. What's going to happen in these next moments, just as the music plays, there's going to be some slides come up on screen. I want you to read them and consider grace. Consider that God's loving kindness freely poured out to you is enough. Even in the pain. So I just encourage you just to watch up on screen and just consider these words. And at the end of that, when we come to the end of that, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing of His grace. And as we enter that song, if you've got little ones at Sunday Tots, if you want to excuse yourself and go and click them, that would be great. But I want us just to take this moment and continuing to seek God right now. Let His words and the words of others speak of His grace, like deep down into your heart.